Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Tsleil-Waututh, the Keetse, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tsawwassen, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Jordan.
And can you introduce yourself?
I'm sure we can. It's Liam Payton and
Kelsey Payton
from Slackwater Brewing in Penticton, BC.
All right. Well, thanks for coming to the show. You guys have been on before, for sure. Back when I could be in house and all that.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. Actually, we were filming. It was Festival.
We weren't open yet.
2019, yeah, no. I think. A few months from opening, we're in the brewery that was just been commissioned, wrapped in whatever that screening was, poly screening around the whole brewery, where we finished the tap room.
The good old days.
So when did you first open? When was the lounge ready for business?
We had our final occupancy at 4 p.m. on June 13th, and then we opened to a 200-person guest list at 5:30. Nice. My heart rate was off the charts.
Yeah,
City Hall is literally over the road from us, so I ran in the back door with the permits in hand. Well, there's a lineup building at the front.
Please,
we're determined to freaking open.
Nice.
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
So we're drinking this Althea Hibiscus Blonde Ale. What can you tell us about this beer?
Yeah, this is, we made it every summer so far. We got a little ahead of ourselves this year for spring. First summer was a taproom draft only, which was a Pilsner. And then opening such a giant taproom in a tourism town, we realized we can't sit 6 weeks to make this again, as we just watched that 10-heck batch of Pilsner evaporate. So we flipped it to a blonde ale. And as ever since, has been a really big seller for us, and not just in the tap room, but like Kelowna, for instance, seems to pound through this in the summertime. It's got a name for itself in the Okanagan, which is pretty nice. As I said, started a little bit earlier this season because it's, you know, we're trying to wish and will ourselves into spring and summer and get out of this gloomy COVID winter that we've been through.
Absolutely,
And I was just saying before the show, the colors, we've used different hibiscus suppliers, so pretty much every batch we've had right now, it's in the volumes we need, it's quite hard to acquire, so like pillow bags upon pillow bags thrown into the whirlpool. The first year was like a beautiful kind of rosé, last year was hot pink, and now it's kind of like a rose gold. Still got this beautiful, nice, subtle kind of floral notes, a little bit of citrus. We just use a pretty classic blonde ale base for it. Pretty funny, when the guys pull the pillow bags out, I thought someone had been murdered in the brewery. It was just in front of the brew house, and it's just like crimson, dark red, like blood consistently dripping towards the floor drains. What the hell did you guys just do? I hadn't seen the waste from it beforehand, and it was literally like a bag of blood on the floor.
Yeah, that sounds a little creepy, yeah.
So romantic.
It's got a really nice floral aroma.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes really through like a bit in the flavor, too.
Yeah. It's very florally, but it is hibiscus all the way. It goes really well in a blonde ale.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely any other kind of style that might get, you know, lost in there. I think the blonde's nice. It gives it a little bit of a fruitiness that works with it. And I can see how this would be pretty crushable on a hot day.
Yeah,
especially in Kelowna. Thankfully, we've only got patios right now.
Yeah, right. Definitely a patio beer.
Two of them, and we're in the Okanagan, so it's a little warmer out here than most parts of the country as we start to enter spring and summer. So it has definitely been flying out the last few weeks since it's been on tap.
I believe it, yeah. Nice. I guess, can you talk a little bit about what you've had to do for COVID? Because we're out here on the Lower Mainland, and you're up in the Okanagan. Things are a bit different.
Same health orders, different jurisdictions. I think the only real difference that we had was in November when there was a restriction based specifically on the coast and Fraser Valley of events. Do not socialize outside of your group. And a few of the hard hitting ones that really got the coast pretty bad. And we obviously we have a lot of wholesale business and great accounts on the coast that really felt that hit in mid-November. And then 2 weeks later, when I think everyone was hopeful it might get lifted or changed, they extended that into our jurisdiction as well. Other than that, it's pretty much been the same. We've been, since day one, trying to be kind of leaders of the pack, I think. When we reopened the tap room last, I think May 26th, reopened last year after the closure on the 17th, we went a little bit overkill, maybe for a bit. Mike, you've been to the tap room since it's been complete. It's pretty sizable. So pull a couple tables, space everything out with a tape measure every morning, and it's been pretty good. And now it's just push everything outside. Not conveniently, the whole situation's not the best, but last Monday when the latest round of restrictions came out, we'd been shut in the tasting room Sundays and Mondays in January, reopened Sundays through March, and we were planning on Monday, just gone, of reopening both patios. And then as soon as that announcement came in, we were like, just drop everything, guys, and just make the patios look amazing.
Yeah.
And the team did such a great job. Got lots of greenery. We got our heaters in, blankets, little bit of wind shelter, but unfortunately being so close to the lake, that's hard to avoid sometimes. It's been a wild one. Our community's really thrown a ton of support to us and all the other breweries as well, which has been fantastic.
We're a lot luckier than a lot of the other breweries.
Yeah.
Patios or like just given the time frame that they, the 12 hours or whatever that they told everyone that it was patio only. There's a lot of other breweries that weren't ready to open their patios yet, or they didn't even have the option. So we consider ourselves lucky.
Yeah, it's always rough. Like, there's some breweries that don't have any option of doing a patio, like in Vancouver, Lupolo, or maybe they do now, but there's almost no space. So it's really rough when they have no option.
I wouldn't want to sit outside in that neighborhood anyways.
Probably not.
But back to you guys' patios. So you guys have two patios. What's the capacity with those, with the restrictions?
About 50. I think downstairs is 30 if it's fully sat, and then upstairs is around 20, 25.
If they're fully sat.
To get like an entire section of your restaurant completely fully sat is very rare. You know, like is every six top a six top? Is every four top a four top? You know, like it's uncommon for us to have two people sat on a six person picnic table, right? Because we want to say yes to everyone and welcome everyone. So.
Yeah.
But the business cycle's been good enough that we've not really had to line people up. We've been full several times the last week, which has been phenomenal. We had a lot better of an Easter, I think, than we were expecting to have.
Excellent.
The slowdown straight after that, of course, in today. It's definitely a blessing having those in there. But it's also a shame having our building's 10,000 square foot footprint. And the brewery only takes up 3,000 of that on the ground floor. So it's people walk in through the front door to this vast, empty restaurant with an empty stage. and stack tables and chairs and then just get walked straight through and seated on the patio. So, definitely that's the hardest thing. We built a tap room to be like a unique entertainment venue. I mean, it's been a nightclub for 20 plus years and, there's a lot of entertainment heritage in that address. And it's just a shame seeing that big, beautiful space and that stage not fully programmed and doing all the fun stuff we used to do. It's a little heartbreaking, but it's been an interesting ride.
Yeah. Cause you were doing live music and stuff, right?
Yeah. Pardon?
You were doing like live music and stuff on weekends, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we still, I don't know if this counts as advertisement or not, it's a mention. Up until this recent round, we're still allowed live music. It's still permitted in the health order, provided it's kept at conversation level, so we keep it at 65 decibels and we don't advertise it, because advertising it would turn it into an event.
Right
So there's been a guy or a gal with a guitar on stage at 7 o'clock every Saturday since we opened, shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. July, August 2019. So it's a big part of who we are. So it's, and we love supporting the arts and live music and being that great kind of hub for entertainment. So it's tried to hold on to it as long as we can, but it's not really worth having a guy inside on the stage when everyone's outside and split upstairs and downstairs. So
just get a busker on the sidewalk.
That's another bad idea, actually. You could see if we get some buskers to play in the patio.
Might be easier.
Yeah, there's some very talented ones out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's always pivoting these days, right?
Oh God, we've gotten used to it. It's almost numb to it now. We're like, yeah, what's next? Okay, well, guess we gotta do this, and guess we gotta do that, and guess we gotta cancel this, and we should probably keep doing this. And
yeah,
thankfully we have a fantastic team around us that it takes the blow off the chin quite frequently, which is nice. We have a really fantastic team that just rolls with the punches and keeps getting stronger. So looking forward to them when this is all over.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back up there once this is all over.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. It's been over a year now.
Yeah.
Does the city still allow people to drink at the beach there at the lake?
Yes. That was actually written into permanent bylaw from April 1st to October 31st every year now.
Nice.
Awesome. Beaches. So I think I don't speak for myself in this, that last summer was pretty wonderful. Kelsey and I are not so much on the floor nowadays as we were in the first like kind of 18 months. Well, Kelsey's sales manager, so she handles and manages everything outside of the building. I'm marketing and production, so work with Kelsey to make sure we got enough beer for everyone, and then people have to listen to me talk about the beer, and it's a nice little cycle. But like last year, when it's like 35 degrees out and you've had an awesome day, you're clocking off like 7-8 o'clock at night, grab a 4-pack, we walk one block down the beach past our car where we flip into flip-flops and boardies, just go waist deep in the lake, crack a cold one, watch the sunset. It's pretty amazing way to wrap up a day. So you guys are very much looking forward to that right now.
Soon.
Soon.
You guys are doing off sales then?
Oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of off
sales. Oh, there you go. Plug that. Off sales, come get it.
Yeah, the beach.
And it doesn't have to be a nice day. Just go to the beach.
Sounds like that's the one silver lining that's come out of this whole COVID thing over the last year or so. Has been these parks that are allowing alcohol. So there's a bunch of them that are permanent now. And now even more municipalities are doing trial basis. So that's one thing that I guess, you know, if nothing else, this is something good that's come out of this, right?
The liquor branch have been doing, I don't want to get shot by any of my colleagues here, but or peers in the industry, but there's been a few very old nonsensical rules and restrictions that have lifted that were temporary terms of aid for breweries and other like hospitality businesses that are now just permanent.
Yeah.
The wholesale pricing for restaurants is huge. Yeah. Absolutely huge. And I saw no rhyme or reason as to why that was ever a thing. And now bars and restaurants, when they're buying in packaged product, spirits, bottles of beer, ciders, wines, and the liquor, because they're forced to legally, you can only purchase them through the manufacturer or from the government stores, and now they're passing on that whole rate, the wholesale mark, which is awesome. So that's it's been a long time coming on that, and that's it's pretty fantastic. That's now done deal. That's staying, which is amazing.
Yeah, and hopefully in the future, you know, once things have settled down a bit, we'll probably see some price adjustments happen at the restaurants and stuff too. Right now, probably not, but
exactly. I mean, I think it came about as a means to make that extra 15-20% margin on these items that they're buying in. And I don't believe everyone just dropped 15-20 points on their menu.
And they probably shouldn't right now.
They probably shouldn't. So no, that's great. And I'm sure there's other ones that I'm forgetting here as well. Just like little things across the board like that didn't really make much sense and were just points of frustration that have been listened to, articulated, and changed for the better, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping some more cities will jump on the drinking in the parks thing, because there's not a lot down here yet.
Yeah, I think it was us and North Vancouver within 24 hours of each other said yes.
Nice.
Yeah, and then Port Coquitlam moved in.
Yeah, very progressive percentage.
And then they've put a bunch of the parks are now permanent, and they've added more parks to the pilot for drinking in the park. City of Vancouver is working on jumping on the bandwagon and actually putting beer and stuff in concession stands at the parks.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, things are slowly moving, but there's lots of cities like Burnaby that no movement at all. So,
I mean, like, I'm from the UK, and not like, you know, drinking in public is a human right or anything. it's a wonderful thing to do if you need to.
Yeah.
But like in the UK, you can do it.
Yeah.
And in the downtown cores or the heavy residential cores, when you walk around, there'll just be a sign on the lamppost saying, yeah, don't drink here, please.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to trust people can be respectable human beings. Not everyone's going to have a couple beers in a park and set fire to a bench and just go wild, right?
Like,
I was going to say beautiful. It's a bit romantic for me to say, but you know, like you go down to the beach at the end of the day and there's like a family there sharing a growler at the beach and their kids playing next to them and no one's bothering them and it's legal.
Yeah.
Why would that never have been legal?
Yeah. You know? I just went to the park the other day in North Van with some friends at a distance, and it's Waterfront Park, I think it's called, in North Van near the Quay. And all around the park, or there's a playground in the middle, and all around it you can drink. So their little one was playing on the playground while we sat around and had a beer. It was awesome.
How civilized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was people sitting there with wine and, you know, cider and everything.
Responsible parenting. You know?
Exactly.
That's how I roll.
Kids play, parents play. It's fine. Yeah.
The more taboo you make things, the more problems come out of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally. Look at Prohibition.
Yeah. Worked out well.
Yes.
Just put enough recycling receptacles out there. That's the main thing. Because
yes.
Most people want to recycle, but if there's nowhere to put your cans, it makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah, that was definitely a point of frustration for us at the start, because we'd go down and we'd see our beer cans shoved in a bush.
Yeah.
We're going into the garbage can.
Yeah, but it got caught up a little bit and things fixed there, but that was a little frustrating that we'd go for a couple beers and then we'd end up going through the bushes and picking up other people's beers who weren't responsible enough to be given the privilege to do this. And that's, you know, it's what ruins it for everyone else is those odd, irresponsible peeps.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, since I don't think we've had you on the show since you've opened. Or if it is, it's just been talking about some of the beers. So how much have you grown since you first opened, capacity-wise?
Well, it's an interesting one. So we opened in June. I think most businesses started feeling the fear of COVID probably come February. So we'd barely had, you know, 3/4 of business to really establish ourselves. So that, during the closure, the reduction in draft beer, I'd say we were a very not a huge leap from year 1 to 2. I don't really think.
Okay.
But the end of last summer we put in 2 more double tanks after a great I don't think we could have really asked for a better summer outcome wise. From our internal resources to the levels of business that we saw through the COVID restrictions was kind of a perfect balance. And then, you know, through the winter was another big hit to draft beer, with further restrictions coming through November and December. But we're crazily, I can't believe we're about to hit our, like entering our 3rd year of business come June. And the way things are currently rolling is going to be a pretty exponential growth. So I think year 1 was maybe 1,100 hec. Year 2 is just getting wrapped up, and it's going to be maybe a 10-15% increase. And then what's looking right now is probably another 75-80% on top of that for year 2.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's awesome.
Crazy pants. we're trying to figure out how we can get a more sustainable canning solution in. We've been working with Mile 37 since October 2019. They've been fantastic. But just not being able to can when a beer's ready. Last year when everyone got shut down in March, everyone went to cans, and I called all the mobile canning companies, and the best I could get was every 6 weeks. when we have a lager, which takes 6 weeks, and then everything else is 3.5 weeks, didn't mean we couldn't necessarily flip those tanks twice. So we really got kicked in the plums production-wise last summer. And then ever since then, we've tightened up to every 3 weeks we get Melba canning. Now we have every 2 weeks. Through June and early July, we have it every week.
Damn.
And that's a lot because no one's based out here. So there's travel fees and everything that we pay to get them out here. So that hurts a little bit. There's a new solution up in Kelowna now. So we're going to play with those a little bit through June because I know Martha is crazy busy at that period. But we're allowed to get them in every single week at that point, which is going to be pretty critical going into summer volumes. And then, yeah, we're currently exploring our own canning line solution as well, which will just really help. Yeah, and our new head brewer's re-engineering a couple of the fermentation profiles of some of the beers as well. And I think, to have the means to can and to package whenever that beer is ready is going to be a pretty big part of our growth the next year or two.
Mm-hmm. If you've got a new head brewer, who's your new head brewer?
Kyle Richardson. He was a KPU grad in 2017, and then he was, lead brewer over at Postmark, and then House of Funk, House of Lager. He ran the House of Lager side project for them at the Hearthstone location. And then he did a quick brief stint in Village in Calgary because he moved home for a little bit. And then he's been with us since mid-February. Yeah, and he's having a great time.
Nice.
Also, yeah, so Chris was our original guy. And he had to leave in last September. And then we quite literally, Peter Schultz, the original Steel and Oak brewer, happened to walk into the brewery to borrow some yeast for a pilot batch he was doing just after Chris said he's got to part ways, and he ended up signing a 6-month contract, which is pretty great for us.
Nice.
Yeah, that was very because we went
very serendipitous.
Yeah, at this point we're advertising for someone to come out for the brewmaster head brewer role, and at this point Kelowna was exploding with COVID and Penticton was on fire. So not too many people kind of put their hands up to move out.
Yeah. And you mean physically on fire, right?
Yeah, physically on fire. And then Pete just waltzed in to borrow yeast. He's like, oh, yeah. He is starting a brewery on the Naramata Bench, a land-based brewery, which we're super excited about. That should be opening probably fall, I think they're saying.
Oh, that's awesome.
But there it's on ALR land and was delayed. And he's like, I got 6 months. So that was pretty perfectly, he'd come in and shepherd the brewing operations for us for 6 months and help train up our assistant.
And yeah, he's definitely a solid brewer, so not a bad little find for 6 months.
Oh, he was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I have always been a massive fan of our Helles Lager, but Pete turned up and just made a couple of tweaks, and that lager's deadly right now.
Hey, you got to always tweak things, right? Nothing's ever perfect.
Don't change. Tweak.
Tweak, yeah. Yeah. If you change too much, you might piss off a customer. But if you tweak things, they won't notice that it's gotten that much better.
That's right.
Exactly. You know, if you just, you know, like we're now at the point as a brand as well that we're really kind of knowing and very cognizant of the standards and qualities that we want to be putting out. And some of our core brands we've been making for 2 years now, and we know exactly where they need to be and how we can make them a little bit better, not changing, but what teeny tiny incremental changes, be it on the cellaring side or the hot side, that we can do just to make that beer as best as an experience for the consumer as possible. So it's an exciting time for that now that we've really kind of developed our standards. Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time for us right now.
Awesome. So are you guys shipping a lot of cans down to the coast, or are you guys mainly focusing on local?
Shipping.
Sending, pardon me. Yeah.
We are actually doing everything ourselves, and we are going to the coast every 2 weeks to deliver. Fraser Valley, Vancouver, up to Whistler.
Driving days.
Yeah. And then we're doing the Okanagan region and Kamloops.
Oh, great. So you guys are all over the map right now.
Well, we've got a long ways to go, but we're doing everything within our own capacity to get the beer out there. And
yeah,
that's pretty good for just doing it yourselves.
Yeah.
Being self-reliant has been a number one goal of the business for a while now. And I think last year we started transitioning away from third-party logistics. We got like a VW wagon that could fit like 3 dozen cases of beer at a time that we started running. And at that point, we're running to Vancouver like once a week with 3 dozen every 2 weeks, I guess, maybe. Not even.
Oh.
Less. That territory's going crazy right now. And then in January, we got a 3500 series full wrap delivery van that Mike got to witness in its full glory in the IKEA car park last week when I traded off his. And then I take that full to the rafters every 2 weeks, maybe like 100 plus cases and a bunch of kegs out to the coast every 2 weeks like clockwork, which is nice. And then you're in Kamloops on alternating weeks and Kelowna, Penticton, Salo de Okanagan weekly.
That's so many kilometers.
I know. And now like the Kootenays is starting to grow, that it's probably not, it's going to be pretty soon where we have to drop third party logistics for the Kootenays and start spending more time out there. But it's pretty fun that it's Kelsey and I doing the sales calls and the deliveries, especially during last year's closure when sales reps weren't allowed to go into liquor stores, but you could go and deliver beer. So like, secret mission, go in and deliver beer, and oh well, I just noticed this shelf placement, and oh, I think you should use this product, and it's
birds one stone,
exactly. Yeah. So
we can grow with strategy because it's just us doing it.
Yeah, so we have all the touch points with all the customers. We see everything in there. It's pretty fun.
Nice. Should we get into this next beer then?
I was already about to crack it.
Oh shit! All right. Foggy McFog time.
Foggy McFog time.
All right.
Of course, nice. So what are we drinking here now?
We are drinking What the Fog. It's got a bit of story behind it.
WTF.
Yeah, it's New England IPA.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like the juicy, hazy kind of thing. That's what I'm getting from the description.
Apart from one batch we had, like Penticton's water source runs from two different sources, and like the lake and the reservoir. And one of them is far more treated than the other. And we did the one batch, it was towards the end of the first summer, that we have no idea what happened because there was zero change to recipe, zero change to process. And this beer came out crystal clear, like clearer than the lager.
Weird.
All right, this batch stays in house. It still tasted phenomenal. But that one got nicknamed the Not the Fog.
That almost sounds like the lake is
a single batch.
Yeah, sounds like the lake is probably the problem there.
I'm loving the label on this. What's the story behind this label? Just the artwork and that. It's quite eye-catching.
We just wanted to try and capture like a kind of beautiful Okanagan sunset, which doesn't typically have too much fog during the summertime outside the mornings, but we're really good at smoke out here, whether we want it or not. So we just had this idea of like a beautiful like sunrise sunset kind of scape over Okanagan Lake with a kind of haze drifted across it. Yeah,
this looks like last summer's sunsets probably.
Yeah,
last few summer before was crazy. Like, yeah. Last year wasn't too bad,
but it's all red and everything like that. Yeah,
so it's definitely foggy. It's not like the super murky.
Yeah, it's not thick. It's definitely hazy, but I wouldn't say, it's not murky or chunky or thick.
It's not called What the Merc, though, so.
It's got a wicked nose on it. Very sure.
Yeah, we jam a whole buttload of, this is Citra Eldorado. So, like, candied stone fruit. Bunch of kind of tropical hula dances in the background.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of background.
Get the stone fruit heavy on the nose with some citrus. It's great.
Yeah, a little bit of pineapple in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this outside our lagers are our bestseller. And
I can see why. It's delicious.
It was pretty, pretty funny during the when Kelsey, Jason, Chris, and I were planning this business in our little apartment by Brassneck on Dude Chilling Park for a year or so. Chris and I were adamant about not jumping on the hazy beer train. You know,
choo choo.
It's funny, you know, seeing breweries nowadays that you don't expect to pump out hazies. It's happening.
Oh, yeah.
And then we did one test batch going into the Okanagan Festival. They were all pilots we did under the manufacturing license at Cannery. Love those guys. Big shout out to everyone at Cannery Brewing. They just, it was their 25th?
It was their 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary last week.
It's amazing. It's
pretty great. And it won People's Choice at that event from our first pilot, which we were like a little taken back on. So we kind of decided to make it. And I think the first batch we commercially did was the most, I mean, it was delicious, but the most horrifically inefficient beer we've ever made, because I don't think when we designed the recipe, or when Chris designed the recipe for the homebrew, we weren't expecting to brew it commercially. So he went all out. I mean, this thing's like, I think it's like 55% premium Bohemian Pilsner and 45% gold naked oats. And anyone in production knows the price of those two things. And to produce a 7% beer out of them is stupid.
Yeah.
Never mind all the dry hops and whatnot.
Never mind like the double dry hop in this with a huge bio and a massive dry hop on the end of this, not to mention a significant whirlpool. I don't think this, I don't think we have any hot side on this. But but it's one we've all come to know and love.
This
this is definitely the one we're kind of known for, this and the lager, and it's always the pain we can never keep up production on this until recently, which is nice.
Yeah, it's
it always such sucks to be out of fog.
Yeah, no, it's such a like juicy flavor. It's got lots of like tropical fruit and stone fruit.
Oh yeah,
super
yeah,
easy drinking.
Apple. And the batch you guys are drinking is super duper fresh. I think I dropped it to you, Mike, last Wednesday. It was canned the previous Thursday.
Wow,
so this is kind of as fresh as it gets, especially for you wonderful folks out on the coast.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, the Haze Boys won't be disappointed. I mean, it's not over the top. It doesn't burn the back of your throat with like the resin from the hops, but it's definitely hoppy. You can taste the hops in there for sure. I don't think any Haze Boys would be disappointed.
No, I'm not. As with anything as well, we really try and take the center lane and be as approachable as possible.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite, and this has happened on a couple of occasions, but the one specific time, a little old lady comes in, probably like mid-60s, 5 foot at best.
Little old lady.
and her daughter's with her. And she's like, I've only been drinking Bud Light for the last like forever.
God.
But I had one of your beers and it was amazing. I was like, oh, a tight line Samuelsberg? And I'm like, no. And then she points to that can. I was like, and I was like, oh, you mean something else? No, that pink can. I was like, the fog? Yes, she's like, you completely converted me. I was like, job done, back up, my job,
bye. Yeah. Well, I mean,
so unexpected.
Little to no bitterness in it. It's all on the fruity side, right? So it's not going to be pushing someone away that's used to a flavor that's not bitter, right?
Exactly. And we do have it. The bio dry hop does include a pretty classic West Coast hop as well. Chris was definitely adamant, and I agree, about giving it a little bit of meat. Like, it's got to taste like hops. It can't all just taste like fruit and sweet magical things. Like, you know, an IPA is an IPA for a reason. It's got to have a little bit of grit to it. So we're happy we kept that in. What was the other one I was going to say? Your parents at the brewski.
Yeah. Dad's not an IPA drinker, but they just kept coming back for more.
Brewski's a little beer festival we do up at Apex Mountain, and we're set up there, first beer festival, and Kelsey's parents are the other two co-founders with us, and they turn up to the festival like, oh, I can't believe you got an IPA. You know we don't like IPAs. Like, hush now. Let's try these beers and see what you think. And then about 10 little sample glasses later, it was like, this is my favorite beer in the whole world.
Nectar hits their lips.
Once it hits your lips.
That is too funny. And I mean, most people that say they don't like IPAs are just thinking of those old, like, pine resin bombs from back in the day, which you have to, like, struggle to find these days.
Exactly. Yeah. Even with our pseudo West Coast or juicy American IPA or whatever category we want to put our Intruder, which is our other IPA, it's 6%, 60 theoretical IBUs. But again, I think maybe half of that at best is on the hot side. And then that's all Citra Idaho 7. And it just doesn't have that big, resinous, dank bite to it that puts a lot of people off. It's like, oh, I don't like hoppy beers. I'm like, what about hoppy beers? Oh, they're so bitter. And like,
yeah,
try this. Like, we've never really been in the business of making beers that we don't want to polarize anything. And we always said trying to hit the middle of the road as best as we can to just attract as broad of an audience as possible. Because yeah, if it's something's crazy sour that you need to dive over and grab a pack of Tums, or you know, you have a sip of that IPA and you can't taste anything because your palate's been destroyed. they don't do anything for us when that happens. You know, we want people to just like have a sip and like, wow, and keep going. And that was Chris's right. philosophy from day one, was a good beer is one you sit and drink four of.
Definitely. Like,
there's a lot of beers you purposely crack a single of, you know, like
I'll drink four barley wines.
You want to crush that four pack in half an hour. Well, that's just me.
Yeah, I'll crush a four pack of barley wine. That's okay.
Oh, why they don't can it. what's the IBUs on this one?
This I think is 45, and that's the brew software telling us what the Whirlpools extract. Because there okay. is no hot there's no hot side on this.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't taste like 45 IBU to me anyways. No.
It might be 38. I think it's just sub 40, but as I said, there's no hot side, but a significant whirlpool. And some say that's not IBUs, but technically it does extract at a lower rate. So
yeah,
even at 0 minutes, at flame out, and something's contributing some bitterness. I mean, if you measure it, there'll be something there.
Yeah, but as I said, we put a West Coast classic hop as I think nearly 50% of that first bio hop as well, that kind of plays catch up a bit on the kind of classic IPA taste. And then just swims around with all this fun tropical stone fruit stuff.
A classic IPA. So you're talking something that starts with a C?
Yes, it does. <with a C.
laughs> So many good ones.
Yeah, for sure.
Doesn't narrow it down that much.
That sounds like an American Explorer.
That's yeah. Well, before we started recording, you mentioned to ask about what you have coming in the tanks in the next little while. So why don't you let us know what's going on?
Yes, very excited right now. We're trying to embrace, like, we've got two summers under our belts now. We're really starting to understand our customer base, at least the people that come visit us on a daily, weekly basis, the people that flood the tap room through the summertime. So we've got a few new beers that are coming out seasonal-wise as well the last several months. As we nurture and grow our core brands, we've been trying to fill the kind of space in the tanks with some fun seasonals, one-offs in our catch and release program, just to try and nothing's ready. just to fill space and kind of keep igniting the brand and find new customers. But you know, we're a 10-hex system. Like, four of our 10 tanks are all singles. You know, it's pretty tough and not very efficient or economical to pump out small seasonals. So we're focusing on a smaller set of seasonals the next several months, but more, and really trying to build those brands out as opposed to just doing one and dones. So that's some pretty fun stuff. That's all. I mean, I think we can talk about it now because literally everything's in tank.
Mm-hmm.
We have a juicy session pale ale, which is kind of an in-between of two previous ones we've done. We had our Sure Thing, which was like a 4-ish%, I think it was
Sabro
Equinox kind of pale ale, and then we had an Amarillo Smash called Wake Breaker.
Ooh.
So Wakebreaker is now a juicy session with Amarillo Mosaic that is getting kegged out tomorrow, or between tomorrow and Friday. Nice. That we're super excited on. Insanely light, fluffy, crushable body. Beautiful, like, lime and grapefruit juiciness on it. We're really, really stoked to get this one out. And I think it's going to... I'm hoping it moves towards a kind of permanent production. One we released 2 weeks ago, which we're going to get to after this, What the Fog, is our Nautical Nonsense, which I can't wait to tell you about how I came up with the name for that one. which is a pineapple sour with pink sea salt. From a marketing standpoint, actively trying to stay away from the word gosa because it's a kind of weird word and it requires explanation. So I'm trying to lowest common denominator here with pineapple sour, pink sea salt. I'm really trying to stay away from the gosa kind of classification, at least from a marketing standpoint. And then when we first sat down and interviewed with Kyle, he really, really, really wanted to punch out an Italian pills. And when he looked at our hop inventory, he saw a nice big stack of Nelson Sauvin. So we do have a fucking delicious, and I'm sorry, he told me not to drop F-bombs.
No, drop them.
No, you're fucking allowed.
A really beautiful Italian style pills coming out, with pretty hefty additions of Nelson Sauvin. The white grape on that is just... Yeah, I could just sit and sniff it all day, to be honest, right now. I keep going to Bright Tank every day and hugging it and drawing up a couple ounces. And...
I'm not much of a Pilsner fan.
They're the main three ones that you're going to see a lot of from us this summer. We've also kind of transitioned the design set from our Catch and Release series, which was classically this style. So kind of blue band, kind of vectorized and texture front. So the hibiscus has got close-up macro shots of hibiscus flower. Yep. A lot of the other ones have kind of cool textures of water and whatnot, and we were doing more of them than we thought, and kind of from a brand stance on shelves that they looked a little bit too similar. So we've kind of, do you want to grab one of the pineapples actually just so we can show, we've kind of advanced to like the Catch and Release 2.0 now. So these are the three offerings that are going to come out. Yes, that guy right there. And then the other one, which is gone into pilot tank today, smoked peach sour.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That sounds good.
Real fun, because we were dosing that throughout the afternoon, and what we ended up was really great.
Smoke so your own peaches?
we attempted. you can't get fresh peaches right now, so it was a frozen peachy job.
Right.
And the first attempt at smoking them just kind of made them stick to the inside of the tin foil in the smoker. Kyle will kill me, but this first batch for the pilot, which is going to make like a keg of beer for the tap room, is liquid smoke.
Hey, you deal with what you got.
It is like we just dosed it up. And it tastes phenomenal. I'm really excited for that. But the actual batch is going to be smoked malt as opposed to the smoked
fruit. That's right. I was going to say there's at least two or three different kinds of smoked malts you can pick up that'll give you that smoky character, right?
Exactly. And I think when we release it in the tap room, we do weekly features at the tap room, mostly handhelds and Sandoz. So we're going to have some beautiful beast of a brisket sandwich, I think, to pair with that bad boy when it comes out. Like, nice. Today was like... So we just kept dosing up the smoke, and it was beautiful. The fruit and acidity was just outrageous to begin with, and then we got the balance and the mesquite, and it's just very exciting. we're hoping to get that one out to cans and market a little bit later in the summer. We just want to start getting rolling out, I think, the first two batches of the Pilsner and the Pale Ale draft only, and then... immediately flipped and start getting cans out probably in May at some point.
That's interesting. I want to try that Pilsner, because even though I'm not a Pilsner fan, Nelson Sauvin happens to be like one of my favorite hops of all time. So
you mean Yellow Fizz? I believe you referred to a lager at the taproom.
Not yours. Yeah, all.
He's actually had a few. He's had a few over the past year that he's actually enjoyed.
Yeah, but none of the ones that I've really enjoyed have been true Pilsners. Usually it's... calling it a pills is pretty loosey-goosey, like the Four Winds packs. But
Well, yeah. They're pilsners, they're lagers. They just have a little twist.
Yeah.
This is a real pils. However, we kind of did a New England on it because it's been bio dry hopped and dry hopped. So
yeah, no, it sounds awesome.
It's a hazy pils for sure.
Okay.
But it'd be hard differentiating that from some of the hazy offerings we have, but it's, yeah, the aroma, the taste profile on that is beautiful. And the white grape in the back from the Nelson's pretty killer.
Yeah, it sounds super amazing.
Excited. Yeah, very excited about that. Kyle's extremely excited about that.
I'll try it.
Yeah, same. So I know it's not really the season for this question, but you guys do have a barrel program, no?
Yes, we have a barrel program.
You have anything maybe in the barrels that you're going to be coming out with you want to talk about, or is it secret hush stuff?
No, we'll talk about it. we've got a second iteration of Duoro, which is our port barrel aged imperial stout with port barrels from a friend's family winery. I think it's our highest rated beer on Untappd currently. It's only available on tap at the tap room, or you can pay the world's most expensive rate for a growler fill. Like, I can't believe people have it's a very expensive liquid, and it's beautiful. The big robust red notes coming out of that, and it's a gorgeous stout. So we have more of that, but this second round in the fall is going to be going in packaged into bottles. And then our first summer, we brewed a Flanders Red, which is now at around coming up on the 2-year mark. Ooh. And I think we are going to be putting that into bottles for bottle conditioning by the end of the month.
Ooh.
And then we'll sit on that and see how we feel. I feel we may fruit the second half come July and make a Kriok that we can release next year.
Ooh,
nice.
And then we have a couple of funky ones with some sour blends and cultures in with our lager wort that we'll figure out something to play with down the line. And then another one was so Chris and his partner, just before they moved to Penticton, they went to France, and he's a huge cider guy. And it was a Manoir de Quinquez, which is a Brittany cider company. He brought back a bottle, propped up the culture inside that, and put it in a Chardonnay barrel last summer with our Grisette, which is tasting real nice. But it's a single barrel, and that won't be packaged. So that'll be a tap room only. Mm. And then after that, unfortunately, just the rate of our production growth and potentially getting a canning line, that we might be stepping back a little bit from our oak project, just as we kind of go through this transition of growth.
It happens, unfortunately.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
You have an artist you work with who did this?
Yeah, it's a brave creative, Anya Werner. She worked with Liam. She used to work at Peak, like for Peak magazine, doing the covers in Whistler.
Okay.
And she did all the branding and everything for Whistler Village Beer Festival.
There's the stuff. Posters. Okay.
That's what we used to work on together. Like,
yeah. Okay.
7 or 8 years ago.
Cool.
And yeah, so then she does, like, she did the Russell rebrand, Odin's, everything pretty much for Factory when they first started. And
okay. So the Phantom Spectrum, yep. Some of the Dones redo stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, Jordan, the logo on your Russell hat, that redo, that
he's
was
not there.
Oh, but that was Anya's retweak of the original Russell logo.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's great work.
A lot of cool stuff. I don't know if you guys mentioned it in a way. We actually won an international design award for her labels and our brand set back in January from the World Branding Design Awards. Excellent. Which is pretty rad.
Yeah, no doubt. Why, darn, I got tied into an award, right?
Yeah. we really weren't expecting. I hadn't aware that she'd submitted stuff, but that was pretty big because, yeah, the international recognition on that level is pretty rad.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then all of a sudden, for some reason, our can starts going an extra step up because, you know, we got a little bit of press around it at the time. So,
well, not just that, but good design stands out. People pick it up, right?
And yeah, I think everybody has to have a well-designed can now. You can have
it helps.
It really helps.
It's the battle on the shelves.
Yeah, there's a lot of product, and you really got to stand out. I mean, mm-hmm. as a consumer, you're standing there looking at, you know, 80 different beers. I mean, where do you start, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's still new breweries opening, right?
Yeah,
and the amount of people that are like, oh, I picked it because of the label. So there's a lot of people out there that do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people. It's good if you have them all kind of looking the same a little bit, too, with the slack water up front so everybody knows, there it is.
Yeah, I like to be able to see the logo of the company right away. I hate having to hunt around on the can to figure out who made it.
Exactly. Yeah. And then other than the catch and release, because, you know, that smaller releases, we want people to kind of grab and go with them. Like, our core brand doesn't denote anything of the name of the beer or the style of beer on the front of the can. And the kind of thought process behind that was drawing people in with beautiful artwork and this gorgeous canvas on the front, and just encouraging that pickup and engagement with the actual product and having a look and, you know, kind of reading through everything, which you don't really see if you just scan past like pale ale, IPA. It's like, ooh, this looks pretty. What's this?
Right.
Going to pick it up, turn the can around, have a look. And at least that's what we're going for. It seems to work.
Yeah.
When we're on the canning line, we're making sure that the labels like all pointed in the same direction so that it's really easy for the stores that actually pay attention to that.
We pre-merchandise every single four pack.
But it's merchandise before it goes out. And then sometimes when I'm out, then I have to re-merchandise.
But they put it in 90 degrees wrong and they're all facing the wrong way. Yeah. You get it right,
Yeah.
Helps with the tap room. I was stuck in the tap room for a huge difference. When everything just looks as it should as you pull out the pack.
Right.
Yeah. Some people aren't thinking about that, though. Just get new beer on the shelf as fast as possible, probably.
Well, we're still on that same game set. We just try and make as many considerations as we can within the time and resources we have to get that beer out.
The last one that we did, it was the Starboard and Portside mixer pack. It's our first IPA 4-pack mixer that we put out. And it had 2 West Coast and 2 East Coast IPAs. And so we had to can them all separately and then co-pack them all. Ugh. And then the amount of stores that I went into that just had like the 2 facing the front and it was the same beer. And I had to go and like, it's like, no one's going to know this is a mixer pack. If you don't put it in the shelf properly.
Yeah. That was painful.
You can tell
painful.
Which ones did it properly because they were sold out after like the first week. And then everyone else is like, oh yeah, no, it's doing good, but we've still got a bit left. It's like, okay, well, turn them around.
It goes back to the amount of effort and resources that goes into small batch. I think each of those were 10 hex a pop. So that's like 80, 90 cases at best, and scan them separately and then just put 2 cans next to 2 cans perfectly facing and then pack them was a pain. I mean, it paid off in the end. I think last I checked, 2 of our highest rated IPAs that we put out, and they were the fastest selling product we ever made. Like, I don't think there was anything left in the building after like 7 to 10 days after canning date, which is nuts.
Mixer but pans are
it was
are
a awesome. Lot of work. lot of work.
No, it's a good idea though. Yeah, mixer, especially mixers of IPAs.
Yeah, I think we'll probably redo that in the fall. I think that was Pete's iteration of those 2 IPAs, and I think Kyle really wants to get them redone in the fall, which would be fun.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, it worked. It was a fun little husband wife sales marketing campaign.
Well, I mean,
sell lots of cool IPA at once.
Like, everyone wants, you know, new beers all the time, and you can't always buy, you know, 4 or 5 4 packs. So it's nice to have those mix packs to, you know, shake it up, right? So it's no doubt they'll sell faster.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I just stopped in at Mountain View Brewing in Hope on the weekend, grabbed some beer.
Cool spot, eh?
And yeah, it's a really cool spot. It's beautiful. It's big. It's way bigger than I expected. But they have singles of all of their beer available. And I was like, this is awesome. I just put together a 5-pack, but, you know,
mix
it up.
Batch.
I did the same thing. I drive past Hope, obviously, every 2 weeks coming home. And it's like, oh, I don't know which to choose. Like, oh, let's take a single of everything.
So
came home with a mix pack.
Yeah, that's then awesome. You can figure out what you like, and when you hit and go back, then you can look at 4-packs or 6-packs or whatever, right?
Or more singles of the stuff they have that's new.
There you go. So, Liam, what's your background? What were you doing before you got involved with Slackwater?
Shenanigans.
Were you involved in the industry? Were you brewing anywhere? Were you home brewing? Were you anything to do with alcohol?
Yeah.
Everything to do with alcohol. I was pouring pints at little pubs in the UK back when I was 16. Moved out after university when I was 21 to Whistler. Was bartending and ended up managing a big bar in Whistler at the bottom of the slopes. They had Longhorn Saloon. Did a lot of really fun events there. I got a passion for events. At the same time, me and my buddies really got into craft beer. I think Phillips Hop Circle and Mount Begmead Nasty Habit IPA.
Oh yeah,
the first two beers, like, whoa, beer's got flavor. Because yeah. Before that, I mean, I was like a camera trained cellarman back in the UK, and I love my real ales. Moved to Whistler, being a ski bum, just drinking Colt 45 and Wildcats like a crazy human being.
For the kiddies.
Shitty kiddies for the first six months or so until I got bartending and can actually pay to buy real good beer. And that was pretty fun. And then I had the opportunity. I actually wanted to leave hospitality and get into brewing. And I got this was in spring 2013. I got a gig on the bottling line down at Whistler Brewing part-time, which was kind of fun. And was supposed to move over from the bar I was working at to another bar that was really kicking ass at craft beer and craft beer events, the Dublin Gate, the Irish bar over the road. Ultimately, didn't end up starting there and cut short my time at Whistler Brewing because I got the opportunity to start a beer festival for the hospitality group that owned Longhorn. So I had about 3 months to figure out how to throw a beer festival, which was pretty fun. It turned out to be the Whistler Beer Fest, which was a blast. And I was there for its first 3 years. And in between that, we got to start its second one, which was the Great Okanagan Beer Festival up in Kelowna, which was, you know, part of the time I think we started dating in late 2013 and started coming out to the Okanagan a lot more and more. And it was the kind of seed that was where we wanted to be eventually. And then we both left Whistler in the end of 2015, so just after the third beer fest. The operations company that we hired in Kelowna to help us with that beer festival, Wet Ape Productions, were looking to hire, and I really enjoyed working with them and jumped in with those guys in their office in Vancouver doing events all over the place. Actually during the Whistler period, other than obviously a beer festival doesn't pay someone's salary year round, so I got to work on some really, really, really fun projects. I ran all the beer gardens and beverage program for Pemberton Fest, which was pretty freaking wild for the first 2 years of its rebirth. Cornucopia, Tough Mudder, the Iron Man, like really great event and operational experience. And then continue that to a degree down in Vancouver, some more beer events between Vancouver, Kelowna and whatnot. And I was the beer ambassador for the Donnelly Group. So working with them for their beer events, running, curating their beer programs and beer clubs and whatnot. And then took a little hiatus for a month or so and joined a marketing manager for Northland Beverages. So Whistler Brewing, Bowen Island, Lone Tree, Hey Y'all, all that stuff, which was super fun. Those Don Gordon, who's there, I think VP of sales there, has been like a huge help to me from the day I started the beer festival. And freaking love that guy. I hope he's listening. Love you, Donnie. And then July 2018, we both wrapped up our gigs on the coast. Kelsey was at Central City, sales rep for about 2-3 years. So most of the time we're in Vancouver, kicking ass, selling lots of Red Racer. And then, we both threw the towel in July 2018, got married in August 2018, honeymoon to the East Coast in August. So we did Hill Farmstead, Alchemist, Foam, everything on that side of they were New York, Boston, Vermont. We hit everything. It was pretty drunk and expensive, but
I'm jealous.
Really great beers. And then the day we got back, we pulled the carpet up in a 30-year-old nightclub and started making a brewery.
Wow.
Wow.
And you're still married.
Still married.
It is an unbelievable amount of luck, and I can't find the words to be able to work along someone every day, 7 days a week, and not have killed ourselves. We can still, we work alongside each other, and we'll still go home and talk about each other's days and crack a beer and have a nice dinner and then go enjoy ourselves on the half day to maybe every few months, 2 day weekends that we have off together. And the comedy she puts up with me.
Yeah.
Most days.
Yeah.
Most days. Well, Kelsey, I'm sure I don't hear about a bunch of stuff she goes and just, there's a punch bag put up that's got my face attached to it.
So he did mention, Kelsey, that you worked at Central City. Do you have any more history in the beer scene at all?
I just always loved craft beer. I won't spend as much time talking about Liam or what like Liam did, but I just really, when we moved from Whistler to Vancouver, I really wanted to get into the industry, and I got the opportunity with Central from Christy, who was the previous rep in Whistler. She was amazing, and never really looked back. Had great mentors as well, and it's crazy that we're looking back on that now, and we've almost had a brewery for 2 years.
Yes, that's not a bad place to work in the sales side and everything if you're trying to open a brewery. There's definitely volume there.
In fact, Mike, Festivale, when we did the last podcast recording, it was 2 years ago this past weekend.
There you go.
with us two and Jason Van Russell as well.
At this point, last Festivale that's happened.
Oh, that's sad.
It'll come back. 2022.
Well, why don't we get into this last beer here? Because I know my glass has been empty for a minute. I love your guys' conversation, but I'm parched.
I'm just going to rinse a couple of glasses here because I've clearly been talking too much.
I've got a beer from before.
So this last one we're looking at, this is also part of the Catch and Release series. This is going to be the Nautical Nonsense Pineapple Sour. Yeah.
With pink sea salt. Don't forget the pink sea salt.
Yes, with pink sea salt. That's right. So it's not a goza. It's a salted sour.
I like that they're steering away from that, though, because I don't know anybody that's just trying to read the beer name off of, a board will never say it properly. From a marketing standpoint, I agree 100%. But I'll get that goose. I got that gose. I've heard everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What goes around?
Yeah.
Goes around, comes around.
I'm from Birmingham in the UK, and I'm not sure if you're aware of its infamously shit accent. Ozzy Osbourne, Peaky Blinders. It's
okay.
I remember growing up. I think Maxim magazine did a list of from number 1 to 20 of the sexiest accents in the UK, and I think Brummy came dead last. Which is great.
Well, I think Ozzy Osbourne's accent's more drugs and alcohol than it is Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that don't help with the slurring and the dragging of certain words. But I used to work in this pub called the Bark Green Inn, and there was always the place where people would come out for their fancy weekends, and the pronunciations of some of the wines from some of these breweries. I had Pingo Gringo. Pinot Grigio, Pinot Blanc as Pinot. It was just I don't know. I'm not a pretentious human being at all, but it's really those pronunciations just burnt into the back of my skull.
Sometimes you just got to pronounce every letter, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, love a glass of the Pinot Gringo, please, mate.
Pinot Gringo.
So, and he's been, and the guy was deadly serious with his, date stood right behind him. It's pretty.
Well, this beer is absolutely phenomenal. I just took my first sip.
I'm still smelling it.
But the nose, I was just going to say, it has that salty aroma. I'm getting up the pineapple.
Just in the aroma alone, I'm getting that pineapple fruitiness, almost a little hint of sweetness in the aroma. But then, boom, you get a whiff of that sourness there that counteracts it and sort of balances it out.
Smells like a fruited goza.
Really, really happy. Like the sweetness from the fruit, the acidity, and the salinity is, I don't want to say perfectly balanced, but I feel it kind of is on this one.
It's beautifully balanced.
Wow.
This beer is terrifying just how fast it's moving.
Yeah, it's bouncing back and forth between sweet and sour. And the saltiness.
And it's 4% too. It's 4%, so it's
got massive flavor for a 4% beer.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And we've actually upped the fruit a tiny bit for the second batch too.
Nice. So you're saying you have a story behind the name here.
Yes.
Let's hear that.
I had had a couple too many beers, if that's such a thing. I believe I came across good old SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yes, yes.
And was slightly inspired by the theme song, "The Who Lives in a Pineapple Under the Sea." So we have a pineapple salted beer. And if nautical nonsense be something you wish, then hence the name.
That's awesome.
I don't think I've ever heard that song.
This is a SpongeBob beer.
That's all I'm going to think of now.
Reminds me a little bit of a name.
Oh, lives in a pineapple under the sea.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's right.
Wow. That's a first.
Don't edit that out, Cam.
Sort of a similar naming convention to that brewery in Squamish that comes out with interesting names.
Backcountry, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Backcountry Brewing.
We tried a very subtle approach. I just love their field goal kicking. IP theme, wonderful. I mean, and their beers are just fucking unreal.
Yeah.
That's one of the better parts. When I go to the coast, like, I'll leave here at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday morning and I'll bomb to Squamish. And I'll always swing by Backcountry to get a couple beers and a pizza for my lunch before
heading
back towards the coast.
Yeah. Recharge for your afternoon of deliveries.
Pizza's fire too, though.
Yeah.
They got good pizza, man.
Leave with a 4-pack, crush a pizza. It's a great way to break the day. And I just love seeing those guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, good people.
It's always my favorite when Liam gets home too, because he brings Backcountry beer home. We can't really get it here.
Some of those fruit salads are just...
Well, some of the stuff they bring out, you can only get there at the brewery.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of the funky stuff is just one-offs that you get only there, yeah. That's why I like hiking in Squamish.
Right, yeah, some of the fruit sours are just unreal.
Definitely, their puree bank account is unreal, I guess.
Why I send Liam on deliveries?
Yeah,
it's equally as important to procure wonderful beers as is to deliver lots of beers. So,
you know. You just got to bring home less than you deliver, because that's not great business otherwise.
It's just to come home with an empty van, Mike. Jesus.
Right? You're making that trip. You got to fill up.
Yeah, you got to go out full, come back full. Otherwise, it's just inefficient.
Well, that's true. I guess, yeah. You're a distributor for yourself.
We ride that van pretty hard. Like, we'll come back. We don't come back empty-handed. Like, last time, we came back with 10 new umbrella frames and a bunch of fruit for the next round of Pineapple Ghosts. And the next time I'm coming out, I'm going to get a pallet of grain and a pallet of fruit for two upcoming fruit sours, and it's efficient.
Yeah.
So you said you brought the fruit back for this pineapple sour we're drinking here. Is this canned pineapple like chunks, or are we talking about canned apple?
It's fresh Okanagan pineapple.
Yeah.
No, I believe it's an aseptic puree from Pacific.
Oh, puree. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, no, the first round was all concentrate. The second round is a blend between concentrate and puree.
I was curious because I've been down to Moody Ales. I've been down at Moody Ales when they're doing their pineapple half, and they literally have like a pallet
of Dole.
Skins, like those
Dole
skins. of Dole, yeah, and they're popping Dole pie tins like mad.
That, efficiency.
Sounds like a pain in the butt.
It definitely sounds like
I helped another brewery crack a lot of cans and tins once for another fruit project, and boy, was that labor intensive.
Yeah, that sounds like something you do.
Pineapple juice comes in a tote, right?
Yeah.
That's something you do on a one-off, like for fun, as a silly like marketing thing, not as a beer that you reproduce.
Exactly.
At least have an electric can opener if you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, then all the cats in the neighborhood will come.
opening scene of Back to the Future, when he's got that long, crazy, like, roller coaster of an alarm that just ends up ultimately just dumping a tin of dog food into the bowl.
Yeah.
You want to build that and just line up the cans. That marketing material.
No doubt. Sounds like something Backcountry would do.
Okay, they're going to listen to this, and there'll be a beer named after it next week.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. Can I ask you something? I always am interested in this, but Slackwater Brewing, how'd you guys come up with that? Is there any little story behind there?
Originally, our name was Hatchery Brewing. When Kelsey and I met, I was struggling with life work balance, running big bar in Whistler, and just was always work. And my now beautiful wife really kind of got me into the outdoors and taught me how to like start fly fishing, which is kind of beautiful meditation and a really good thing for me. any excuse to get a sell range from my management at that point was a blessing. I think probably Tenderfoot Creek Hatchery in Squamish is where we fished a lot. And then back in May 2014, we did a road trip down to North Cali and back and hit like 30 breweries and a bunch of rivers. And that's when we were like, let's start a brewery and we'll call it Hatchery Brewing and everything's fishing themed. And then we're about, well, it was end of March, early April 2018. And we got a good old C&D from the Hatch Wines up in Kelowna. And changed the name. It was a little stressful because we were like 2 weeks out from Penticton Festival, our opening festival in our hometown, and it was a little bit scary. Our designer did a phenomenal job and flipped everything because we didn't change who we were and what we wanted to be. So it's kind of a typography change, to be honest. And redid all of our assets and sent them off to print, and they didn't arrive in time for the festival. They just landed in Vancouver the morning of setup, and beautiful, wonderful human beings at Strange Follows just called us like, yo, man, I'm in Richmond. You want me to get this for you? And they threw everything in the back of the van and turned up that day so we could get everything set up. So we're forever indebted to Strange Follows.
Yeah, they're good. They're good people for sure.
Very solid. Good people.
Yeah. But it was, simply put, we were driving up to Kelsey's family cabin at Apex, losing so much sleep about this, and the word kind of came out my mouth, and we were really, all right, this is cool. And then we got to the cabin and spoke to the family about it, and then spoke to the rest of the team, and we're like, Slackwater is. And then its meaning is a place of calm between two bodies of water. And we are in a beautiful, chill city in between two amazing lakes, and it kind of just works, and it definitely speaks more to us than as a, you know, we're professionals, we're super hardworking, but we're pretty chill humans. So it just really worked. And as much of a stressful time of in our life that was, having a name that we'd really committed to for about 3 to 4 years at this point, taken from us, I think it was definitely for the better, and I think most people would probably agree that as well. The hatchery definitely required a lot more discussion and like explaining to people what it meant. I mean, we had people from Alberta like, oh, breeding chickens, you got eggs? And I was like, no. They got really bored of that really quick, and Slack was like, oh, that's cool. No one asked what it means. It's just like,
that's cool. What's that mean?
Yeah.
You can tell
except,
it's water.
Except you, but like, what a story you've just been delivered.
That's what we look for, man. That's pretty cool, man. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we've still got some, I think just before, like about a week or like in the midst of this drama, my mom lives in North California now in Silicon Valley, and she was just so stoked for us. And she printed us these like the hatchery t-shirts and everything and shipped them up. And then the next week we had to change them. They're kind of unfortunately now doing the yard work. T-shirts done every now and again. We're doing the laundry, and I think the old tablecloth for hatchery just still keeps rotating through our house laundry. So once every 3 months, like, how the did this get in the wash again? This needs to get thrown out, and it just keeps getting washed through, falls in the laundry.
That's funny.
I think that the frosted glass on the manways to the mash tun and the brew kettle still have hatchery.
Really?
Oh, that's funny.
That's just a really expensive flip for someone that, you know, so few people see those things.
Yeah.
Well, you'll notice whenever we have photographs taken, whenever there's photography there, it's always at an angle so you don't see hatchery around.
Hey, you can always Photoshop it too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not that scared.
Let's do a really bad job at it.
Yeah. I only know Illustrator. I don't know Photoshop. It's a whole other world for me.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting burpy.
I just slammed a bunch of this pineapple. That's my problem. I'm really, really digging this, though. I feel like I may have found my new summer beer.
That was definitely the biggest inspiration, was just trying to figure out, like, as I said, we spend a lot of attention to what we've been making every year. You know, like, we really originally, Chris and I really want to focus on saisons and IPAs, is what the two of us really, really, really like to drink and like to make. And I homebrew for a couple of years, and that was everything I like to make, and that was like, this is what we're gonna do. And saisons were just still at like a high production rate, just a tough sell. They were really interesting and unique to our tap room at the time. And now it's just been focusing on, you know, what does sell, what moves, and what's fun to make. And that's kind of where we landed with the three new seasonals we're putting out this summer. And that's just getting started as well. I said, Kyle's been here for like what, 6 weeks now. So it's a pretty cool kind of transition and growth period for us, and exciting, fun stuff coming down the pipeline that we've kind of not done before, or stuff that we've learned from in the past and just tweaking and making even better. So it's a hoot.
Very cool.
Yeah, sometimes what sells and what you think might sell are two different things, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, we made some beautiful saisons and grisettes and all kinds of stuff, and it's just but this was all pre-packaged as well. This is when we didn't start packaging until the fall of our first year operation. So I'm pretty sure everything we put out on draft that first season, being how insanely busy we were with that July and August, we could have brewed some really weird shit and it would have just flown out. So, but, you know, we kept trying to tweak and focus, and we did a few more saison expressions last summer as well. Which again, they always sell, just not as well as the first year. And then I think I've threatened Kyle with I might do some pilot batches for some saisons, just so there's something in the tap room of that realm that I can drink on. But
something super dry.
Oh, bone dry, buddy. Bone.
Yes.
Bone now dry.
On the right page.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like a saison that's super friggin' dry with maybe just a hint of citrus, like lemon or something, you know?
Oh, like last year, our grisette, our nickel plate, which nickel plate's a lake and a mine right by us, and we thought naming a local mine is probably quite on brand, I guess, for naming a grisette. No, it's a lake and a mine next to it. So that was like a 3.8% with lemon rind and cracked black pepper, and that's two seasons right. And that crushes it every time we do that in the summertime.
That sounds like a lovely table beer.
Yeah, it very much is. And that was the one that's currently in a wine barrel with that crazy wild French cider culture that Chris propped up.
Oh, and you only have one barrel of that.
Yes.
One barrel.
You'll have to go there.
Give us a little ring ring when it's coming out. I'm sure I can squeak one of
those. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I could convince the folks at Hallett Bike to take 120 of it, maybe. They're pretty good with our barrel beer stuff, so.
Yeah, Nigel's that crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice. Well, I think it's that kind of time of the night. I think it's question time.
Yeah, probably.
All right, Liam, something we always do at the show. We're going to ask you, out of the three beers tonight, what is your favorite beer and why would you pick it on this occasion? Pick your favorite child, as we always say.
That's right.
What the fog is my favorite child, always. And seeing that brand develop over nearly 2 years now and through the hands of three amazing brewers, it's been pretty fantastic to see its progression, its ups and downs and whatnot, and it's such a juggernaut for us, and I've never not enjoyed crushing one or several, but once you go past that three mark, the next days feels like shit. The Pineapple Ghost,
there's 6.8
second.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Pineapple Ghost, I'm just super excited about. It's the concept and name actually is well over a year old. We just never got time to put it in the production schedule. So I'm really excited that production has embraced that beer and the idea, and it's, yeah, so we're pretty scared for the summer on keeping this boy up into production. Oh.
It'll go fast. It'll go fast.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So, Kelsey, I'm going to ask you the exact same question. What was your favorite beer of the night, and how come?
Well, I am really digging the pineapple right now. It's a perfect patio sipper. I love how it's a low alcohol as well. We also did a collaboration with Tickleberry's Ice Cream last week.
Oh, really?
And ooh, made a boozy sorbet that's available as a float in the brewery.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Sounds delightful.
Oh. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun.
I love beer floats. And this is a beer, little twist on the beer float by using the sour. I love that.
Yeah, it's it was really fun to go there and make it. I always used to go to Tickleberry's after soccer tournaments growing up. So to go there and pour beer into their ice cream machine was pretty cool.
Cal's like, just got a couple of growlers and pie. So like, I'm gonna go make ice cream. All right,
that's awesome.
But it's vegan. It's a sorbet and it's coconut milk based. So,
and we sour our beers using a vegan medium as well, not just straight up yogurt. Yeah. So it's an actual vegan ice cream with a vegan beer.
That's but that cool. is what
For people that wow. that matters too.
That's what I'm digging right now. I've been told that I'm not allowed to drink anymore in the tap room because we have to save some for the guests.
Yeah. We've all been told, unfortunately.
Oh, Tickleberry better make some.
That's
more
actually kind of cool, though.
We're working on it.
Oh, it's nice. Pretty much it's rolling in. I think I'm picking up pineapple pretty much every chip to the coast.
Oh, you could probably get away with doing the blonde hibiscus in there too.
I know. That's the next one.
Oh. I'm excited. I don't even.
That's a cool. That's really cool though, because like Rocky Point Ice Cream here down on the coast, in the Tri Cities, has done a bunch of
collabs,
different collaborations with the breweries recently too. So that's cool that you're doing that.
They did a series of stouts with working with about half a dozen local breweries, doing all stouts and porters.
I think Four Winds wins it because we got the idea from when we first moved from Worcester to Cambie Village in fall of 2015. Rain or Shine ice cream on Cambie opposite Beercraft. They had a like a chocolate ice cream with Four Winds Dunkelweiss in it, and it was amazing. So every now and again I'd get the munchies and I'd have to go around the corner and get like a quart of frickin' Four Winds Dunkelweiss ice cream and pound it. It was the best. So really excited.
That sounds good.
A perfect beer to make a perfect summer ice cream with.
So. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's very cool. All right, Warren, what's your favorite beer of the night?
I'm a little bit torn here. I think ultimately I'm gonna have to go with the What the Fog. It's more than just the beer. I'm loving the label on this. The artwork is beautiful. But it's a damn good beer as well, and fairly easy drinking for that style. And at 6.8, I mean, how can you go wrong, really? Definitely. I'm really loving the nautical nonsense pineapple sour with pink sea salt as well. I'm not a big fan of the sours, just like I'm not a big fan of the hazies, but I'm really digging this sour as well. They're pretty equal, but I lean just a little bit more towards the IPA.
Your shoulders are talking. I believe you.
All right, Mike, what are you feeling, buddy?
Lager is his favorite.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tightline's Helles.
The less flavor, the better.
Yellow fizz. You know he's going foggy.
Yellow fizz. I really do like this nautical nonsense, but I don't think I could have a ton of them. Like, it's really, really good, but it's what the fog, yeah. I can crush many, many, many cans or pints of that.
Great beer. I figured that answer was coming.
But, I mean, it's been a great beer every time I've been there. You know, whenever I go up to the Okanagan, I'm always trying to stop into the brewery either way, so.
Fair enough.
It's been a good beer for quite a while.
Well,
it was delight. I think last time I didn't know you were coming, you walked to the front and I was like, oh, hey, Mike. Like, I just came out the office past.
It's more fun that way. Hey, buddy. It's way more fun to just surprise you.
Because, you know, like our industry is like not having any surprises lately. The last 18 months.
Surprise, you're closed for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Surprise. Yeah, all the surprises here now suck.
Jordan?
Yeah. Surprise. I hope you can.
Oh, at least we got, as I said, we've gone out every 2 weeks this summer, but June is every week versus every 6 weeks last year, which kicked production's ass. Which is for a new brewery.
Well, I mean, there's another mobile canning company. It's
pretty hard to swallow.
Yeah. I mean, there's another mobile canning company coming online too in BC, so. At least there'll be even more options for that,
Mike
too.
Mike Ainsley, you crazy beard podcast.
Yeah.
The three of you will be doing it next.
He's going by Cansley
Pacific
now.
Pacific Beer Mobile Canning.
Yeah, no. Nope, I'm okay. Already busy enough with my real job.
Changed? Well, for me...
we haven't heard your pick.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like the nautical nonsense. Like, I think I could smash a lot of that out in the summer, but... You know, all of me and Mike are the same. We're just the IPA guys, so I'm going with What the Fog as well.
Yep.
The scary thing about that is it's so goddamn crushable at 6.8%. I can see myself getting into a 4-pack easy and be like, I don't want to get to work tomorrow. But with the nautical nonsense, I could be okay. But I'd even crush one of the, the Athela Hibiscus Blonde Ales. They're all very nice in their own way, but... What Althea. The fog's got my vote all day.
Althea.
Fog for the win.
Yeah. Althea, next time you crush a 4-pack of What the Fog, I'll look forward to the picture message you sending me the middle finger in the morning.
Just me on the toilet, sleeping, the porcelain pillow.
Just drooling on your phone. What happened?
Yeah, that's the reason I've got that LifeProof case, just because of the vomit and drool.
Oh, God. All right. Well,
I'll tell my wife.
Oh, but that's because of your child or children.
That's it. We're looking for sponsorship.
Yeah, newborn babies puke and stuff a lot.
Or some baby formula.
That's a super solid pitch. We have this beer podcast. We drink all these really strong beers, and Mike keeps slinging us barley wines. We keep puking on our phones in the middle of the night. We really need coverage.
Yeah,
our insurance doesn't cover us anymore.
It doesn't even wonder why. The charge.
I'll admit to a little bit of that kind of because the first time we had Cam on, our editor, we might have drank a whole bunch of barley wines and Russian Imperial stouts. And I think the first time we had Jordan on, there ended up being like gin and stuff.
Started
so.
Me off three with a fucking non-alcoholic beer, and we ended three podcasts later on gin. Loved it. And that's how I met Mike.
So I might be guilty of that a little bit.
I think our next round, we'll just send a full growler of Port Barrel Imperial Stout to you guys. And the mission of the whole podcast is to get through it, and then we'll just see how it ends.
That sounds like a challenge.
That sounds like challenge sounds easy. Accepted.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
We got some Doppelbot too we can throw in the
All right.
So if I'm if I happen to be wandering around Penticton and I'm looking for your place, give me some rough directions or rough idea on where you're located in town.
Smack bang downtown.
Yeah, so if you
turn right at Neighborhood Brewing.
we're like opposite City Hall, pretty much. We are one block from the lake.
Yeah.
Cassie's right, from Penticton.
She right behind Gyro Park on the corner of Westminster and Martin Street.
What's your address?
Wait a minute. There's a Gyro Park there, too? Kelowna has one as well.
The Lakeshore, conveniently named, runs along the lake. And one block south of that is Westminster. So we have a park called Gyro that backs onto City Hall, and then the beach.
Okay. Well, sounds pretty easy to find.
Pretty convenient. Yeah. Like, if you got a
market, if you're in the area,
come back, poor buggers. We're right off, we're just, Main Street, obviously, in every city is the main strip in most parts. We're next to it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then you're walking distance to how many breweries now?
Christ. if we walked out of our building to Westminster,
there'd be four.
If we look left, there is Neighborhood, and behind Neighborhood is Bad Tattoo. If we turn right and walk a block and walk over the footbridge over the creek, there's Cannery and soon to be Highway 97's new location. So there will be five within a stone's throw. Like, we can have a snowball fight between the five of us.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds like a Penticton crawl to me.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's literally crawling distance. You could, this is between the five of us. That's five breweries tighter in location than Brewers Row.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And I've definitely done some crawling in that area,
especially after the old mule.
Oh, dude, that place was fire back when I was young.
So that's it. That's where we are.
You are the mule then.
Yeah, we are the mule.
We bought the mule, gutted it, and turned it into a nightclub.
I know exactly.
I turned it into a brewery.
Okay, yeah.
So I know that's so is. Much better than that shithole.
Okay.
Yeah.
That old smoke pit upstairs is now a beautiful rooftop patio.
We took off all crazy. That UFC iron cages around the outside and a beautiful rooftop patio.
I haven't been up there in about 5 years. We used to vacation there every year. So now I've just had my second little one, and me and the wife have been talking Penticton. So I can't wait to come up and be like, babe, we're going to the Blue Mule again.
Yes, it sounds like a good time to visit.
It's so funny. Our office, as soon as you walk in the front door, there's the hostess station to the right, and our office is to the left. And it never gets old, the amount of people that you can hear that the front door opens, and then you hear, holy shit, what happened to the mule? They're walking like, whoa! And especially the first summer, they're like, oh my god, I made out with my first chick in that corner. I puked in that ATM in that corner. I got into fights over by those stairs. Like, everyone's just like,
oh. Pretty sure my wife had her stagette there.
Yeah, maybe she was one of the penis straws that was left behind underneath the carpet.
We found a lot of penis straws. Yeah.
There were a lot of dick straws.
Yeah, okay, I bet you it was, knowing her friends.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, well, that's too funny.
That's where we can see our firstborn in that corner. What?
Probably not too far off. Oh, my. And what are your social media platforms?
We are Slackwater Brewing on Instagram and Slackwater Brewing on Facebook and Slackwater Beer on Twitter, but just don't tweet us because we don't really use that much. 2021, Jesus, get off Twitter.
Twitter sucks.
I prefer Twitter myself, but I just hate social media.
You and your lager-hating ways and your Twitter-lovingness, it's...
Oh, I don't like it. I just don't hate it as much as the other
with
ones.
His Blackbird.
Oh god.
I'm on a Samsung. I'm waiting for the new Blackberry to come out. End of the year because of the microchip shortage.
Well, Well, this has been hella fun.
All right.
This has been a good time, guys. We needed a good day. It's been a wild week.
Yeah, it's good catching up. Yeah,
thanks for joining us. It's been several years since I've been up to the Okanagan, and I clearly need to get up there. There's so many new breweries that have popped up in the last 3-4 years since I've been up there. It's been way too long. I can't wait to get up there and not only check you guys out, but all the other amazing breweries that have opened up that way.
I agree.
It's pretty fun right now. Yeah. It's a lot of wonderful things to go see. And then, we're all super tight. So.
And then you can head up to Kelowna. There's a bunch of new breweries there. You head down to Oliver and visit Fire Hall. And what's
Trading
the... There's
Post are opening a new location in Oliver.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Yes. North Basin.
North Basin.
And so that's brand new too. Yeah,
they're opening in December. About an unfortunate time to open. I trade now that the Burt Mail is on point, considering Birmingham's right next to Burt.
Really, eh?
It's a good Burt Mail, and they had a great
seltzer. I like me a good English ale.
I think it's a raspberry seltzer I had on top of it there. Yeah, so off the bat, we've got pretty damn good beers.
Cool. Off the bat.
I'm gonna take you down there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I guess we probably should wrap this up, but it's been awesome catching up. I can't wait to actually see you guys at the brewery one of these.
You better be wearing your Slackwater hockey jersey.
Oh.
Yes. I wear it all the time.
Even in summer he wears it.
a little less in summer. It gets pretty warm here. Alrighty. Well, have a good night. I'm sure you've been working hard.
I'm trying. Hardly working.
Alrighty. Well, cheers. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. If you'd like to support us, you can go to patreon.com/Pacific Beer Chat. Shout out to our supporters, Steve and the Indie Beer Show. And I'd just like to put a little shout out. Love you guys, Indie Beer Show, and we're going to miss you, Brian. So, cheers. Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
SpongeBob SquarePants!